We're going to start and turn to a scripture that we read last week, John 15. But we were talking about who he is to me. Who he is to me, part two. So, just to recap a little bit. Last week we talked about two major things. Our perception of how we receive from God and the method of how we receive from God. And we talked about how we receive from God. It's best to view God not as a hoarder of our blessings. He's the storer of things that he provides with us when we go by and he hands us a package of the things that we ask him for. But he himself is actually the things that we need. When we need peace, instead of driving by like a drive-through window, we just go hang out with God and we receive peace. We receive the things we need. Because ultimately, you're a big deal to God and he just wants to hang out with you. Okay? And what that brings us to is the method of how we receive, and that's simply spending time with God. Building a true and growing relationship with him continuously. We talked about abiding. Remember, abiding. Everybody say abide. All right. Abide. Say it one more time. Abide. At home, I can't hear you. Say abide. Okay. John 15. Start with verse 4 this time. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burnt. Abide. That's where we live. That's the home of our mental and spirituality. Because he's not talking about where we live physically. He's talking about our mental and spiritual dwelling place, right? That's where we spend a great portion of our time and our energy and our focus, our thoughts. Now, I know that I've read that verse last week, but in trying to get to the actual characteristics of who God is to us, and I'm continuing to study that, God took me a little deeper into this idea of where we abide in our dwelling place. And by deeper, I mean when you have a dwelling place, what's underneath that? Foundation, right? So he starts talking to me about the foundation. And then, so I want to dig a little deeper, pun intended, about this foundation stuff. And I was reminded of this because there's this story of this guy that found a beach somewhere. He loved the beach. Anybody else love the beach? Okay. Yeah, I do. I like the beach. Not the kind of beaches really that they have here in Oklahoma, but more. Ah, no, they're not bad, right? If I've got a fishing pole in my hand, I love Oklahoma beaches. But anyway, this guy found this beach that he loved, and so he decided to build a house on it, and he built a house on it. Just straight up built a house on the beach. He has a friend that comes along, and he says, man, you ought to move down here with me. This is great. And his friend said, yeah, I do like this. Now, his friend was a little bit smarter, and you know what he did? He built a house there too, but he dug down to the bedrock. And then this big storm come along, and the guy that just built on the sand and didn't dig into the bedrock, his house went, it was no more. And the other house stayed firm. We find this in Matthew 7, starting with verse 24. Let's read about this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Remember that? Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, and this is Jesus talking, Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, what I thought was interesting that has to do with our sermon today is look what Jesus compares to the foundation of our dwelling place. Our dwelling place, where we abide. Where's the foundation? What is built first? Where is that? And he compares our foundation of our house to this: hearing and acting on his words. Hearing his words and acting on his words. Listening and doing. That's the foundation of where we live in our spirits and our thought process. Amen? Okay? You with me? It's our dwelling place. Your home. And only there, when you build it on that, on hearing and acting on the words of God, is your foundation secure, then is your house secure. Then, whatever happens outside your house, it doesn't matter how crazy people are getting in your front yard. It doesn't matter what's going on in your backyard. You're in your house. You're in the presence of God because you're doing and listening to God. You're doing what he says. You're in the presence. Your place is safe. It's like God saying this. He reminded me of this. He said, "What did I say?" Like one of those old mobster movies. "What did I say? What did I say?" God reminded me of this week, is in my prayer life this week. I was in here praying and talking to God, and sometimes I like to ask just the basic stuff. And I said, "God, what do you want me to is there something that I should say about this pandemic stuff that's going around? Do you want your church people here at Bethel Church Choctaw? What should I say to them about this pandemic?" And a lot of what he said is, "What did I say?" He says, "Think about what I said." And he reminded me things that he's already said. He said, "You know, you can't worry about this." And he said, "Sure, be precautious, take precautions, be safe, be intelligent about it, but you got to not worry about it." I mean, if you listen too much to the news, you're going to find out that there's other strains of this virus that it does all kinds of tough stuff, turns you into a zombie, and you know, it you can hear about anything. And so it's like, "Oh, great, what are we starting over again?" It doesn't matter. God says, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. What did I say?" And he takes me to this scripture. It says, John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you." And this is Jesus talking again. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He said, "I don't give this to you like the world gives it to you. It's different. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid." He said this to me. He said, "This pandemic has no bearing on what I have called you to do." Amen. Okay. Well, then here we go. Right? We're just going on. We're not going to worry about it. Then I ask him this question. I said, "Father, what do you want me to say about all that's going on in this country?" And he said this: "Do not allow yourself to become anxious about any of it." Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for what? But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. He said, I don't want my people to be anxious. As a matter of fact, it's a step in the direction of disobedience. He said this to me. Are you ready? This is not me. This is what I got from God. Are you, ready? Seatbelts on. Anyone who is holding on to anxiety or fear or entertaining thoughts of anxiety or fear is moving themselves out from under the shadow of the Almighty into a place of disobedience. Yes. He said this, how can I help if I'm not allowed to help? If you're holding on, if you're feeling anxious, now I know that we all battle anxiety. Battle it, fight it, but don't harbor it, don't hold on to it, don't let it control your thoughts. You're slowly drifting in towards disobedience when that happens, because he says be anxious for nothing. I said this to God at first. My first thought was, wow, God, strong words. And he replied, I'm a strong God. So, when we hear a lesson from Jesus about building our foundation, our dwelling place on rock, which is doing and hearing his words. Now, first we want to look at those words and those commands that we find in the Bible. You know, the big ones that we all kind of have an easy time with that. But there's some other ones that we need to pay attention to. I've already read a couple. These are the words that we need to hear and do. Be anxious for nothing. Cast your anxieties on him. Don't be anxious. Do not allow your heart to be troubled. Do not allow your heart to be in fear. When we do those things, we are building our dwelling place on the rock. And then it doesn't matter what's going on the outside of our house. The inside of our house is secure. And it's like, okay, God, sometimes it seems like it's me and you, but me and you is going to win this thing. We build our foundation of where we live and abide and dwell by not allowing anxiety into our thoughts, hearing his words and acting on them. So I want to be careful, because it sounds like anxiety, fear, hate, things like that are granules of sand. And if we spend too much time in those areas, we might wake up one day and find that we've accidentally built our house there. And it shifts. All of this stuff that we're hearing, all of these things that aren't acting and doing on what God tells us to do, is going to be shifty. And then when the storms come, our house is going to fall. And Jesus says, great is its fall. So we have to be careful where we abide. Stay plugged into the vine. We got to abide in him. Do not allow distractions to alter our focus or cause us to move the foundation of our dwelling place. Now, here's what's interesting. I want you to look at the subject matter that Jesus is talking about. Right before he starts talking about these two guys that built their house on the foundation. Right before he starts talking about how to build our house on the rock, what brought Jesus to that part of the conversation? In Matthew 7:15, we read words like this: beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits, by what they produce. Verse 18, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, You will know them by their fruits. Once again, he says it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So he's talking about, he's teaching about false prophets, he's teaching about deceivers, people in this world deceiving us. And then he immediately begins to talk about where we are building the foundation of our house, our dwelling place, where we live, where we spend a lot of time in our head and in our spirits. It reminds me of passage we read last week. 2 John 1, 7 through 11 says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh." This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Deceivers in this occasion comes from a Greek word, planos, Texas. No, not really, just planos. Not in Texas, sorry, I love Texas. Planos, it means imposter, a misleader, someone seducing. Their goal and their main goal is to trick you, to cause you to think they are acting on the behalf of righteousness. Now think about this. A deceiver isn't going to be someone that gets up and says, "Hello, my name is such and such, and I'm here to deceive you today, and we will be deceiving at an altitude of 3,000. No, he's not going to announce himself. As a matter of fact, Jesus says he comes like a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know what that means? That means from a distance, he's going to look like he's a Christian. Uh-oh. We're going to have to be careful. From a distance, he's going to look like he's doing righteous things. He's going to say the right things, perhaps. You see, deceivers don't have to come and mess with their own. It's like a wolf isn't going to try to convert a wolf. They're trying to get to the sheep. That's us. That's the Christians. We're the sheep. So their whole goal is to come, look like a sheep, trick us into thinking they're sheep, and lead us astray. So it's not going to be a great announcement. The Antichrist, when he comes, probably at first won't say, "Ta-da, I'm the Antichrist. I'm here to fool you all." That won't be how it works. He may come as a minister of the gospel. Bible says that they may actually do, he may actually do some miracles and do some miraculous things. He will have some power. And he's going to try to deceive you. He's going to try to trick you. Now, not just him, but Jesus talks about deceivers were in the world even back then. We have an enemy, and he uses deceivers. And at first, they may look righteous, but we need to be careful where our foundations are, because that's going to be immovable regardless if that is a wolf or a sheep. Where's our foundation? A wolf in sheep's clothing. We will know if they are righteous or not. Jesus says this, by what? By what they do, by their fruits, by what they produce. Not what they put on social media. Not what the news says about them. You will know them by what they produce. Amen? All right. Now here's the deal. I don't want anybody to get anything in a wad. I'm not implying that this is focused on any character or person or individual that we have in our lives right now. I'm not secretly suggesting that that is somebody that we all know of. But what I do want to say, and I think the importance of this, and I believe this is what God is saying to us, is we need to be careful. I was very concerned over the past couple of weeks. Sometimes my heart gets heavy because I see Christians jumping on a bandwagon and they're not really for sure where that bandwagon is heading. Because it says one way to Jesus on the side of it, they just jump aboard. We need to be careful. We need to know where is our foundation. Where is our thoughts, our priorities? What are we dwelling on every day? We are going to have to be safe because all of this stuff may blow over fine. But in 5 years, as we get closer to end times, perhaps the deception will be better and we will have to be careful. And my heart, as a pastor, I have to say, listen, you've got to be careful. I'm not judging anybody here today, but I'm just saying we need to be careful that our thought process and our habits and our focus is on the foundation, the bedrock of God, and we're listening to his words and acting on them, just like Jesus said. Amen? All right. Second, to continue on 2 John 1, 8. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive the full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ. Now, once again, here we reference to our dwelling place and his words. Okay, you getting that? The Bible's going to need to be a pretty big deal to us in these last days. Amen? Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. So we need to watch ourselves. We need to watch where we build our foundation and where we live. There are people and there are entities and there are ideas. There are movements in this world right now who, it seems, if you stand back and look at it, are targeting Christians down a wrong path. I watched a documentary just this week. I didn't finish it. Once again, it has to be pretty good or I don't watch it all, I guess. But I watched a documentary this week, and it was about this religion, and I won't say which one it is, but there was a couple of churches that I know of that was named after this denomination, I guess. And they teach the Bible, but not all of it. They don't teach the Bible like the whole thing is true. And that's not a presumption. They admit that. There's holes in the Bible and things that don't make sense and blah, blah, blah. And listen, these people I've seen them on videos. I've seen them on TV. I've seen them on the news. These are famous people that have a lot of famous or have a lot of followers. And they will admit that they are not teaching the entire Bible as it is true. We're going to need to be very careful. What we follow, who is our God, who is getting most of our time and our attention. Because here's the deal, if they can keep our attention long enough, they have moved our dwelling place. All right? Because where you spend your time, where you build that foundation, where you dwell is going to be important on whether you last or will your fall be great. Abide and build the foundation on hearing and acting on God's word. Remember, this week, God said, what did I say? Who is he to me? He's my bedrock. He's my foundation. He is where I dwell. He is my salvation, my peace, my grace, and my mercy, my comfort, even in the middle of the very worst storms. He is it. I will not be distracted by the world, and will not find myself building on sand. My Father God is my rock and my foundation and my home. 1 Samuel 2:2, he said the same thing. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. That was our first song we sang today. There is no rock. There is no God like our God. We've sang it, and now we're going to live like it, and our house is going to stay standing. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Lean is putting your weight, supporting yourself. Do not support yourself with your own understanding. Support yourself with God's understanding. That's a good idea, if you think about it. Because he knows more than I do. Support yourself. Lean on God's understanding, and he will make your path straight. I want to end with this, and I put this on the notes, and I have a slide that says this as well. Five habits that will change your life. These are things that help us build a foundation. These are things that help us hear and act on God's word. Right, and these are just five examples, and I got this from a blog on YouVersion. Number one, give thanks. Psalm 75:1. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks, for your name is near. Men declare your wondrous works. Every day, practice something like this because it builds your foundation so that your house won't fall. Number two, spend 5 minutes in silence. Read this verse again, John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Spend 5 minutes in silence with God. Do you know, I read something the other day that there's a study out, and they got people together and did a study, and they just told them to go to the backyard and just sit somewhere, sit in the grass, with no one around, no one talking, no music, just sit. Even without introducing the spiritual life or the Word of God or God himself, this experiment proved that this helped people in their emotional state. Spend 5 minutes with God in quietness. Now, I know I've talked about this before. My brain works a little bit too fast sometimes. So I was doing this practice, and I was trying to spend 5 minutes or some amount of time in quietness to God. It took me 15 minutes for my brain to slow down enough to where I felt like I could really hear God. I hear if you continue to practice that, it gets easier. Number three, remember whose you are. 1 Corinthians 16:19-20. 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Number four, meditate on God's word. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Number five, focus on what is excellent. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Abide. Here's the good news. God designed it this way because it's really his desire to hang out with you. He really desires a personal relationship with you. He really desires some one-on-one time You are a big deal to God. We need to realize that because it opens a lot of doors. It opens a lot of understanding in our lives when we realize that we are a big deal to God. And we need to sit down and be quiet with Him and spend some time with Him, listen to His words, act on His words, and know that our house is going to be forever secure. Amen. Stand with me if you would, please.